Hello, my name is Annabelle. And for already a long time, my heart has been beating at Molenbeek's rhythm. It was love at first sight. I've been living a bit everywhere around Brussels, but I always come back home, here in Molenbeek, my Molenbeek. It is here that my son walked for the first time. English-speaking people usually don't know much about Belgium. Sometimes they know a few things about Brussels, but nobody talks about Molenbeek in London or New York. I really hope that this tour will give the opportunity to make Molenbeek sound more friendly, colourful and fresh for English-speaking ears. So if you please, I will be your guide all along this sonic journey, this audio tour, this detour. I will be a voice in your ear all along this walk. A detour is not your typical audio walking tour. It's a soundtrack for your walk. Just let yourself be carried along by my directions. Listen to my footsteps. Their rhythm will become yours. Don't worry, we won't get lost. Trust me, this is my neighborhood. My Molenbeek is in constant movement. Some people say that Molenbeek has existed before Brussels, that it is the cradle of the city. Located just outside the center of Brussels, it is hard to imagine that less than 100 years ago, Molenbeek was the most active neighborhood of the city. With the proximity of the canal, Molenbeek became, at the end of the 18th century, a thriving industrial neighborhood. With this flux of new industries and workers coming from all around the world, Molenbeek became the heart of Belgian industrialization. Yet social and economic decline, together with the degradation of its industries, left Molenbeek in a poor state. But things have changed. Walk with me, you'll see for yourself. A couple advices before we start. Follow my instructions and respect carefully the traffic regulations. Begin to walk when you hear my footsteps. Stop at each street corner and only cross when I tell you to do so. At every street corner, we will meet the heroes of this neighborhood. Simple, free, and often outstanding. We can even start here at Le Foyer.
So welcome at the Foyer. So the Foyer at the association level, we must say that it was really the first. Le Foyer was the first, and then maybe La Maison de Quartier, Bonne Vie. All the other associations didn't really exist as they were known of them.
Foyer has something to offer: a women's house, a youth house, a social service, a sheltered workshop for the man in the neighborhood. So people meet and see one another. So Foyer started in 69 near the Northern District, Brussels Nord, and afterwards one found this house that you see here.
Foyer started as a youth center.
The children came not to stroll around in the streets, and they found soaps, could watch movies.
La Maison Quartier was really unusual because at the time, inside the Foyer, there was a mini zoo, and there was a big lion in a cage.
There were monkeys, parrots.
There was also a wolf. And for us who had seen the Jungle Book, it was like, wow, you must imagine us as kids seeing that. It was really amazing.
A Foyer is a big non-profit organization with different services. At the end of the 1970s, a range of activities was set up in the area of youth education and training. So next to Dar Al Amal, another house was set up in the mid-1980s for the social service and the legal advice service.
There is a service for mother and infant for medical consultation. We also have an intercultural mediation service for administrative issues. We can contact the social service for a social assistant.
Another of Foyer's areas of specialization is setting up projects to stimulate social cohesion. And what must be added, Foyer has always been characterized by a pioneering spirit, always starting up projects that had never been done before. So one of the most recent projects that we are planning is a dialogue house that will be situated at number 17 Rue des Ateliers, and in which we consider integrating an interactive immigration museum. In short, we really want to create a lively space open to each and every inhabitant of Molenbeek, but also to people coming from other areas of Brussels, and indeed from all over Europe and the world. The message that we want to give with this walk is first of all to try and get you to appreciate this municipality. Lift up your sights and especially see the social capital that you're about to encounter with a sense of discovery. And consider what life was like here 20 to 30 years ago. I can tell you that 20 years ago, the neighborhood was gloomy. It was a neighborhood where people just did not feel good. And now I invite you to take a walk and to also see happy faces. That's not to say that everyone who lives here is overjoyed, but there is a certain joie de vivre that you will not find so easily in other municipalities. And at the end of your walk, I can assure you that you will leave Molenbeek with something extra in your head as well as your heart.
Okay, I think it's time to go now. Let's leave the foyer and wait for me right in front of the door of the building. Just get ready to live a new adventure in space and time with my voice as a guide. This is not a movie. Welcome in my reality. Here we are, just outside Le Foyer. So let's go. Getting out of Le Foyer, turn left and walk in La Rue des Ateliers. Be careful. Don't walk too fast. Don't walk too slow. Follow the rhythms of my footsteps. Be one with them, with my voice. And above all, open your eyes and your ears. Just follow me. Welcome in my Molenbeek.
There is a lot of history in Molenbeek.
Molenbeek is truly a village that has changed a lot and that will, I think, change more and more.
Molenbeek Saint-Jean.
It has always been, when I speak about the historical Molenbeek, it's always been a sector of migration.
Molenbeek Saint-Jean is truly a neighborhood really, really old, maybe older than Brussels.
Maybe it's a legend, maybe it's not true, but I like legends. Who was the first here, Molenbeek or Brussels?
Molenbeek. Oui, Bruxelles, Molenbeek.
1080 Molenbeek. It is really a neighborhood where you can still see a lot of historical landmarks, remnants of the past. You can really find in Molenbeek a historical social fabric. Molenbeek still has a soul.
So basically, Molenbeek, I always say, if walls had eyes or ears, that would be amazing.
On your right, you can see La Petite Rue Courtois. Cross the street carefully and enter this little street on its right sidewalk. Right in front of you, you can already see some remains of the industrial parts of Molenbeek.
Few people really know Molenbeek is a really historical place. It was one of the richest councils in Belgium at the beginning of the century. That's where started the Industrial Revolution in Belgium. It was called the Little Manchester.
So it was a little village, huh? And then with the Industrial Revolution, the stream technologies, the canal, the railway system, the whole neighborhood was thriving with all the industries, the workshops and all the warehouses, houses. It was really a hard-working neighborhood. And so you can find today all around Molenbeek some amazing remainings of this past.
At the end of the street, you arrive at La Rue Courtois. Turn left, cross the street and keep walking straight on the left sidewalk of La Rue Courtois. Right in front of you, a bit further, you can see the Saint-Jean-Baptiste Church.
At the beginning, it was the church of Saint Jean Baptiste of Molenbeek. There was here a water spring dedicated to the goddess Freya, a German goddess, and she had magical power. So the Christians, like they did a bit everywhere, they Christianized the spring and they replaced Freya by Gertrudis.
So on the bank of the Molenbeek River in the year 900, there was a refuge, a shelter. And it was just a place of pilgrimage with a water spring. So since its origins, this shelter has been a meeting point. And all around the rural population settled down here, in those fields, those swamps of the Seine River. And those people slowly became the farmers of Brussels. They will every day enter through the big gates of the city to sell their products. So there is there a long history.
At the next corner, turn right. Cross La Rue Courtois and enter La Rue du Ruisseau on its right sidewalk.
In English, you would call it Brook Street.
Yes, for the Flemish, it is quite evident. It is a common name. A Molenbeek, beek, it's a creek, or a brook, or a small river. And molen, it's the mill. So it's the mill at the river, the mill at the creek. But not the windmills, but watermills. So there was there probably a bunch of mills here in Molenbeek.
It was the Molenbeek, that was running from Deelbeek, then that ran down to the Seine River.
And here in the Rue du Ruisseau, the street of the creek, you could find the traces of the Molenbeek. Molenbeek was a place of pilgrimage for the sick people with epilepsy, spasmatic. Maybe in the water of the Molenbeek there was some minerals, some metals that had influence on the brain and so cured some people.
At the next corner you will reach La Rue des Coeurs. Turn right. With the Industrial Revolution, immigrants from all around the world settled in Molenbeek. So Molenbeek has always been a melting pot, waves after waves.
There was migration, but the first migrations were Flemish and Walloon, and then there were other migrations, European, then North Africa, and then came the rest.
I saw all the waves. I saw the first one, coming from the south of Europe, the Italo-Sicilians, the Spanish, the Greeks, and that was at the end of the 70s.
The population from the Maghreb, or North Africa, came right after. It quickly became predominant, and now I feel that it's more and more replaced by people coming from the east of Europe and people from Central and South Africa. So this is a big, big evolution.
And I think it hasn't really changed. Migrations are not the same, but it continues to migrate. African, Indian, Pakistani people from the east, so things are moving.
So from the eastern countries came Hungarians, Ukrainians, Belarusians,
the Poles, people from Kazakhstan,
and from all around there.
For the moment, we have a lot of immigration of Roma people from Romania, Bulgaria, and other ex-Yugoslavian countries like Kosovo, Macedonia.
Which slowly are replacing the Turks, the Moroccans here in Molenbeek.
So the kind of population, it was very mixed, much more mixed than one thing. Is very densely populated with very young people.
At the next corner, turn left, cross Rue des Coeurs, and keep on walking on the left sidewalk of La Rue Adolphe de la Vallée. Be careful, there's no sign indicating the name of the street.
The density of population is really incredible in Molenbeek.
I would say that it's quite typical for Molenbeek, which has always been a neighborhood welcoming immigrants. That wave of people arrive, then leave, or are slowly replaced.
In fact, it has always been a sector of migration. It has always been moving.
So yes, Molenbeek, it's a boiling soup, a boiling mix with all the savors and all the spices from all around the world.
It's true, I would say. There is a true mingling, a true blending.
I've always loved this neighborhood, watching people, this mixture.
Yes, I think it's good. Mixing is a blessing. It makes a neighborhood richer.
We're like an international crossroad where there is a big mix of cultures.
It's a real laboratory full of challenges and which require a lot of energy because this neighborhood has always been a launching pad to climb the social ladder. So we are in the really in front of a human laboratory of a city in a mutation.
Okay, you are now at the next corner. It is La Rue Ribeaucourt. It was once the most dangerous street in Brussels. I mean, a while ago. So be careful, there's no more danger. Turn left.
The Rue de Ribeaucourt. It was like Fifth Avenue, for instance. There was very chic shops, haute couture, people selling hats, fabrics, good designer stuff.
And still something else, yes, that may be attractive in Molenbeek. You know, there exists a real social capital in Molenbeek. There are interesting social networks.
There is a very rich social life. There's a lot of people doing a lot of amazing things. There's a lot of artistical and social movements that are quite important for the neighborhood. And unfortunately, it's never put really forward.
I really believe that in Molenbeek, there are a lot of things happening. There are also a lot of women organizations. There is Dar al Amal, La Maison de la Femme, the Woman House. In Molenbeek, there is a lot of things.
On your left, at number 51, you can see Dar al Amal, which exists since 30 years. Let's stop here in front of this beautiful house.
I'm Sophie. Here we are at Darlamal. It's a center for women.
Well, actually, it is a place where women can meet other women, so they don't stay alone.
So in the late 1970s, we started up Darlamal, which translates as House of Hope. And at the end of the 1970s, we became aware that it is through working with women that you can change certain things. Attitudes to education, to integration. And that is how we decided to start working with women and for women, but most of all with women.
But I heard that we are a little more than 200 members. More than 200 members. Before, I came just to have some company, because I didn't feel like being alone. And now I'm teaching a knitting course.
We started out with literacy classes, which were followed by other training courses. We organized swimming and gymnastics classes.
We organize activities for them. They can sign up for a French course or a Dutch course. We also offer cooking classes, knitting, stitching, and so on.
And a computer course. And cycling.
And we were one of the first organizations to offer preparatory courses for the driving test. Now that certainly was a big step forward in women's empowerment.
There's a lot of courses here for women who want to learn and who don't want to stay at home alone.
They're going out more and they come to Darlamal by themselves. That's very important to them.
It's a house that welcomes everybody, no matter what religion, no matter from which country. Everyone's equal here. There's no difference. All cultures. No matter which, the African women, the Turkish women, the Moroccan women, there's some Vietnamese as well. We have all nationalities. We get along well.
Voilà.
It's solidarity between women, all women. We're all like sisters here.
Here it's all about the women and their life stories, so not their religious background.
Et voilà.
Hang on to Darlamal.
Et voilà. That was Darlamal. One of the numerous social organizations of the neighborhood. Okay, let's go. Keep walking in the same direction, in La Rue Ribeaucourt, and wait for me at the next street corner.
I think that in Molenbeek there is a lot of things that help women. And anyway, if we need, we take more space.
حبيبي حبيبي ده نرجع لا مش معقول في أمل ايه في أمل أوقات بيطلع من ملل في أمل ايه في أمل أوقات بيطلع من ملل شوف المي تنزل عطول عني إني محدودي وبغى
Don't forget, wait for me at the next corner.
كرمالي نيناتنا منعرف شو صار نيناتنا منعرف شو صار
Once at the next corner, let's turn right and cross carefully Rue Ribeaucourt. Once on the other side, keep walking straight in La Rue du Jardinier, on its right sidewalk.
I would say that we are really in the historic part of Molenbeek. All those little streets really remind us of the old village it was in the past. When you see the street names, for example, Rue Sainte-Marie, Rue du Facteur, Postman Street, Rue du Jardinier, the gardener, they are all names really from an old village.
On your right, at number 47, this building houses Randstad. This is a meeting place that helps all the different associations and NGOs. And at the number 47A, you can find the Flemish Library, also known as the Boekenmolen. Keep walking in the same direction.
I mean, behind the church, where we are now, there are some amazing old houses.
Where I live, you have the Rue du Ruisseau, the Stream Street, the Rue du Marocain, where you used to have tanners.
It was really a place with a lot of workshops. There was so much activities around here, and you really feel that.
Here in Molenbeek, there is really a village feeling. Close to the center, typical village aspect, medieval village, those you feel here around the church, those streets all around here, coming from the countryside, all those winding streets. I think it gives a charming feeling to this historic neighborhood.
You're now at the next corner. It is La Rue Montmartre. Turn left. Cross La Rue du Jardinier and keep walking in La Rue Montmartre. at the number 22 on the other side of the street. There is the social and legal service of Le Foyer. There you can also find a service for the Roma as well as a pediatric medical center. Keep walking in the same direction.
So Foyer has developed a strong juridical and social service at 22 Montmartre Street. Because you see, a new immigrant, the first thing he wants to understand is, what is my position here from a juridical and an administrative perspective? Well, this service here really sees all the new migrations entering and passing.
My name is Mihaela Kovaci. I work as an intercultural mediator for the Roma population. So we have a special service for the Roma people, because a lot of them use our services.
You know, at the beginning it was almost always Moroccans, but nowadays there are Roma from Eastern Europe. So we follow the developments in the area.
On your right hand side, on the other side of the street, you can see a big green door and a red sign on the wall. This is where we are going. Cross carefully Rue Montmartre and wait for me in front of the door. It is la Maison des Cultures et de la Cohésion Sociale. Here we are. Let's enter now. Wait for me at the end of this hall, in the first courtyard.
Okay, you're ready. So I'm responsible for la Maison de Culture et de la Cohésion Sociale. And we often call it just the house, which is more friendly, I think. So la Maison de Culture is open since 2006. So since then, we like that our visitors can easily access the building. The door is almost always open. And of course, we think it even better when people participate. So just come in and feel free to wander around.
Okay, now walk towards the end of the courtyard. You will see there a bench that was carved in the last three that used to stand in this courtyard. Let's have a seat there for a moment.
So this building of more than 6,500 square meters in total went through four big phases of transformation. It was the fruit of a program that was called Rehabilitation, Revitalization of the neighborhood and its public spaces. And La Maison de Culture was certainly the big cherry on the cake. And the idea was to offer the public a space for interaction, a place of dialogue, because there was really no such place of interaction between culture and social cohesion around here.
It's amazing because all around La Maison des Cultures, everything has been renovated.
The oldest part of the building is the front facade Rue Montmartre, from where you entered. It's from 1885 and it's a house, Académie de Dessin, or Drawing Academy.
You need to know that here was an old school and it became a cultural center. For example, the main theater here was a gymnastic room, and now it became an amazing brand new theater.
La Maison des Cultures is not really anymore a school, but yet it's still a space where education and art meet each other. So it's really a socio-educative and socio-artistic place.
So you have an amazing theater, you have a lot of workshop, and it's open to everyone. And I think that's very important. There's a lot of artists that come from a lot of different places, even outside of Belgium. And I think it gives you an idea of how the diversity is important in the neighborhood.
Our mission is really to welcome really as much people as possible. And the idea is to say that everybody is capable to express him or herself one way or another.
They do a lot of artistic stuff, painting workshops, dance workshops, music, theater, etc.
Ben Alidoui, comédien, baptême, mariage, circoncision, communion, spectacle halal. Salut, comment vas-tu? Salam alaikum, alaikum, salam!
So now you can hear the applause. I think that's the new youth of Molenbeek, the new theatre. That's wonderful.
Okay, ready to leave? Let's walk through the same hall. I'm waiting for you back in the street, in front of the same big green door we entered.
There's also something very funny is now you're in the Maison de la Culture, you're next to the theatre, and one of the wall of the theatre, on the other side, it's a mosque. And I always said that they got an agreement with the imam that whenever there's a theatre play going on, they don't call for the prayer. So it's, I think, a nice compromise. Yeah, behind the wall there, next to the theatre, there's a mosque there, right there.
Voilà, here you are. Let's continue our journey in la rue Montmartre, in the same direction. Exiting la Maison des Cultures, you turn right.
I think the Maison de la Culture is really important. It's very well integrated in the neighborhood with all the association, and they do an amazing job. So places like la Maison de la Culture, they are a little bit like flowers, like oxygen bubbles. You can meet there, and as you know, art, culture, theater, I mean, it creates debates. And I would say that it's really a temple for culture, and this is very important because before it really didn't exist.
And what I like in Molenbeek, it is its cultural capital, objective but also subjective at the level of individual persons. There is a huge cultural richness of different types. There is a creativity in so many people. It is not a coincidence that Les Barons, the Barons, a movie, has been realized here. It has very well understood the people who live in Molenbeek, and that's typical.
Once at the end of La Rue Montmartre, you will be at La Rue Presbytère. Oh, once again, there's no street sign. Anyway, let's turn left. Cross La Rue Montmartre and keep walking straight on the left sidewalk of La Rue du Presbytère.
Alors avant de commencer, il faut que je vous explique un truc fondamental. Il faut que je vous parle des barons. Pas les aristos et tout ça, hein. Les vrais barons. Et pour comprendre un baron, il faut comprendre sa philosophie. Alors écoutez, c'est très simple. Bon. Pour les barons, tout homme est envoyé sur Terre avec un nombre bien précis de pas, différent pour chacun. Après avoir dépassé ce nombre, tu meurs. C'est pour ça que les vieux sont en maison de retraite. Ils tricotent, restent assis, dorment. Parce qu'ils savent qu'ils sont au bout du compte. Et que dans deux ou trois pas, c'est terminé. Enfin bref, ce que personne ne sait, c'est que chacun a son propre compteur. Et que chaque pas compte. Et nous, les barons, on le sait dès le départ.
C'est quoi ?
Un klaxon.
Ça, je sais. C'est qui ?
Ça, c'est une Peugeot, ça.
Vas-y, laisse tomber.
Okay, at the end of the street, you will be back rue Ribeaucourt. In front of you, you will see the square Saint-Jean-Baptiste. So here, listen to me carefully. Cross la rue Ribeaucourt and walk on the square, but not too far. Walk up to the third tree you see there. Look at your feet. On the ground, can you see the different numbers for the market stalls? And a bit further, if there is no market, you can see at the foot of this third tree a bench. Oh, well, there is no more bench. So let's stay here for a moment, standing up.
Yeah, the market of Molenbeek, that's a real institution. Apparently, there is between 15 to 20,000 people visiting the market every Thursday morning. So the market is big, eh?
The center of the big market is the town square, Rue du Comte de Flandre, all the way to the Saint Jean Baptiste Square, where we are now. All those spaces are full, 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 full.
Mais quand tu vas au magasin, tu regardes le prix, hein? Alors, le blanc, il coûte plus cher qu'un bouteille bleue.
When people come to visit me and they want to see Molenbeek, I take them to the market on Thursday.
Yes, it really changed color. Now it's much more spicy.
So there are two markets, one every Thursday and the other one every Sunday. But it is especially the Thursday market that is well known, where the people rush from Molenbeek, but also from all the municipalities around Molenbeek.
It's really a nice market, one of the best of the area.
You will experience something utterly exotic.
And you have this fantastic feeling to be transported in Casablanca or Rabat, or, and certainly not in Brussels, of course. It's great because the prices are really, really cheap, even cheaper than the Marché du Midi at the South Station, the other big market in Brussels, and of course, much, much cheaper than anywhere else in Brussels or any other supermarket.
At the end of market time, prices are becoming always very low.
It is a big plus to live around here. You can live with not a lot of money. You can really find a lot of cheap and good things.
You really can find everything you want. Sexy little underwear that are fiddly by women wearing their veil. And those are always very good pictures to take. You can find all the vegetables and fruits you can imagine. Fabrics, tablecloths, sheets. So really everything for a very good and very cheap price. Everything you would find in Casablanca, you can find it here at this another exotic market.
Les artichauts aussi, oui, pour 3 euros. Les pavons, c'est la même chose. Il y a 3 marques. Les tomates, 1,95 €. Les comcom, 1 euro.
Ah, yeah. I come here almost every week. But it's really a Moroccan market. It's not like the one around the Brussels Midi train station on Sunday.
And this market is really, you should come and visit it if it's not here today. It sounds, it's crowds. You need to stop, close your eyes and dream a bit because you're going to travel, because the atmosphere very noisy, that will excite all your senses. It's really a sensorial experience. It's wonderful.
Okay, let's go now. Let's turn around and walk back from where we came, back towards the Rue Ribeaucoup. You can see now, on your left, a crosswalk, just after those little street poles. On the other side of the crosswalk, start La Rue de l'École. This is where we're gonna go. Cross the street. And wait for me, on the other side. Okay now, keep walking in La Rue de l'École, which, oh dear, once again, has no street sign. Be careful. At number 76 is the Waardkapoen. Let's stay here for a minute.
So the Waardkapoen is created by the Flemish, and they also have a very rich cultural and social life. Why? Because, you know, the life of people are in a way ruled by events, by party. And before, there were no such a place in Molenbeek, and the Waardkapoen has offered that possibility. For me, for example, I got married at Waardkapoen. My wedding happened at the Waardkapoen, and the Waardkapoen hasn't changed, and it's still there.
It is a place with plenty of events. There is a big concert or a spectacle room. A lot of parties here.
Let's go now. Keep walking in La Rue de l'École, in the same direction.
My wife is a volunteer here at the Waardkapoen. She helps women who cannot read and write, and she goes with this group of women to the museum.
Cross the small Rue Saint-Joseph and keep walking straight in La Rue de l'École. The next corner, you will be at the crossroad of La Rue de l'École and Rue Bonnevie. On your right, on the other side of the street, you can see the Bonnevie Park, a park created by the population, for the population. Let's stop here for a moment. I did not tell you to cross the street. I said to stay here, at the corner.
At La Rue de l'École, there were a small park, that looks more like a wasteland. And we would go there with our friend playing with our little plastic ball.
I saw the entire area here of the subway changed. So finally, Rue Bonnevie, where everything was destroyed, it was all fenced off with concrete walls, and so it was a wasteland. So they destroyed a lot for the subway.
So we created the Maison du Quartier Bonnevie in the 70s. A big chunk of the neighborhood was destroyed because they wanted to create the subway.
So one day, the Maison de Quartier Bonnevie, this association of inhabitants that was located just in front of this wasteland, decided to remove those concrete walls and to transform this square into a playground.
And so the square being a wasteland, we thought this would be a great place where the kids could play safely. And so for 10, 15 years, all the games in this playground were imagined and built by the kids.
Illegally. And this is when was born this famous Bonnevie Park. And so it was a park created by the people, for the kids of the neighborhood.
Okay, let's go now. Cross La Rue de l'École on the sidewalk that is on your left. Once on the other side, keep walking straight in La Rue du Facteur.
This neighborhood has been stigmatized for a long, long time. Way too long.
Molenbeek is a part of Brussels. The neighborhood is so dangerous, police gave us an escort while taping.
Even police avoid the area. There is anger.
Yes, there is a phobia. Yes, it is the image that sticks to Molenbeek, but it is only a label. People always point their finger at Molenbeek and say it is a dangerous neighborhood full of thieves, and it is not true.
I have two young children. I feel I'm very comfortable for my children to be out in the evenings.
On your right, the police. In the past, this was not the coolest place on earth, but hey, it seems that it has changed a bit recently.
I feel it's comfortable for my wife. I don't feel that we're particularly at risk.
It is not because there is a little minority of little thugs that Molenbeek should be the center of attention.
I don't think Brussels is really dangerous. It's more, I think, the press, they're talking about insecurity, but...
There are many, many cultures, and there are many different people from all parts of the world, and it's a richness.
At the next corner, you will be at Rue du Comte de Flandre. Let's turn right. Cross La Rue du Facteur and keep walking straight in La Rue du Comte de Flandre.
For a BMW, Romeo Mike Lima, 549.
On the other side of the street, you can see the entrance of the Comte de Flandre subway station, but we'll talk about it a bit later. You are now walking along the wall of the town hall.
T'es si good. Ça veut dire c'est si bon. Une bonne vue chez Gaston. Et c'est que c'est bon.
Walk along the town hall stairs, cross the small street in front of you, and meet me at the center of the town square.
Ça veut dire c'est si bon. Une bonne vue chez Gaston. Et c'est que c'est bon. T'es si good. Ça veut dire c'est si bon. My darling, c'est si bon. My darling, c'est si bon. My darling, c'est si bon. I am a disciple.
Okay, here we are at the center of the town square, La Place Communale. Let's stay here for a moment.
So this is the town square, the Place Communale. Personally, I like it.
Yes, the town square, that has almost always been a parking for cars. And also a marketplace. Very, very friendly.
I would go there with my grandmother to the market to do some shopping. You know, there were flea markets, there were the carnival, there were like big fairs, and there were a lot of small things like that.
There were all farmers from the Flemish Brabant that came here to sell their products. It is there that I came to buy milk, buttermilk. and I always came here with my dad.
I think it is a quite interesting place. There is a good architectural unity. It's simple, yes, but it's beautiful.
It is a square that is relatively homogeneous. When you look at the architecture that we classify more or less of neoclassic, very much typical, around Brussels, it's of course a very emblematic square, because you find of course the town hall, which has been inaugurated in 1889, so quite a long time ago.
What strikes me since the beginning, maybe it's too small. I think it's not quite beautiful, but it's really a square with no pretension.
Let's go now. The town hall in your back. Keep walking in the direction of the right corner of the town square. Once at the corner, cross the small street that surrounds the town square and enter this little pedestrian street. It is the small Rue du Prado.
To buy what you want, it is really great because you can find everything here, everything you want. And so to walk around here, especially when it's sunny, there is a lot to see and to buy. Bargaining, yes, of course. Here, and especially here, you can bargain. Not like everywhere, but here you can always bargain. Once at the end of the pedestrian street, you will be at Chaussée de Gand. Let's stop here.
That was the chicest street in Brussels. There were a lot of shops, haute couture, a lot of shoe shop, and of course there was the cinema. Chaussée de Gand, there were Le Cristal and then Kinox. That was, I think, at the beginning of the century, an opera. And a little bit further, there was the Forum. I think you can still see the awning there. We really had a lot of cinemas.
Okay, we can go now. Turn left in La Chaussée de Gand and wait for me at the next corner.
La Chaussée de Gand, au départ, hein? Ce n'était qu'avec des magasins de chaussures.
A place for shopping, but with a certain class. It was the shopping place. At the time, it was a place where we went to the cinema.
De la rue haute, de partout à Molenbeek.
Before, to do good business, it was in Rue Ribeaucourt, Rue du Comte de Flandre, and here, Chaussée de Gand. But it has changed quite a lot now.
I mean, it's again more spicy, and I would say it's more chic et pas cher, like you would say in French.
But it's true that haute couture houses are gone, as well as designer wear shops, but the diversity of people that you come across here is really impressive.
The shops around here are from many different countries. They're good shops, they're good for the neighborhood.
Voilà. We're back in Rue du Comte de Flandre. Let's cross Rue du Comte de Flandre and wait for me on the other side. Once on the other side, turn left and keep walking on this little square towards this building's facade at the end of the square where you can see this big fresco. Thank you. Can you see those rocks on the ground? Let's go and have a seat on the last one, the one closer to the fresco. On the right side of the fresco, you can see a big industrial building.
Alors voilà, hello. I am the coordinator of this restaurant, Les Uns et les Autres. And we call this place Les Uns et les Autres because we try to bring people together from different backgrounds, different cultures, different languages. We try to bring them all together here for them to have the opportunity to eat together, to meet one another, because those people probably will not meet each other somewhere else in different circumstances. So we have here at the same time a public that is more social, which is from the neighborhood, but we have also the people who are interested in the neighborhood, who work around here, or simply who visit the neighborhood to discover what is nice in Molenbeek. So, here we want to do some good cooking. In fact, we even claim some days to do some gastronomical cooking. With only fresh products, no frozen products, only homemade cooking. So we like to claim to be what we call a high-class social restaurant. So we try here not only to prepare food and serve food, but also, and even more, to create a space where people can meet. So on the menu, we have a lot of different cuisines. There is a lot of French cuisine, world cuisine. So we prepare chicken gratin or Belgium endive. We prepare couscous, paella, de veau maringo, which is a type of veal stew. What is great about this project is that talking about good food, it just brings people together, you know. It is also a great and exciting project because we are in this amazing space, this beautiful building with its landmarked facade, and we also are in the historical heart of Molenbeek, like a little island, very, very protected, very calm, with a lovely garden, a nice terrace, a small vegetable garden, and so this is a great little secret place to discover, which is in fact an old tobacco warehouse, the famous Aja tobacco. And when you look up at the facade, just outside the building, you can see the name Bâtiment Aja. Still there, and so the Aja tobacco in fact is it was a warehouse and an activity that was linked to the canal. It's true that it brings us a lot of tourists, people who are interested in the history of this area, but I must say that is more by word of mouth that people are coming here. But hey, if you want, it's open, come inside.
Okay, let's go. Let's turn around and walk back towards the corner of La Chaussée de Gand, where we came from. Once you are back at the corner of La Chaussée de Gand, turn right and cross Rue du Comte de Flandre. Wait for me on the other side. Okay, now turn left and cross carefully La Chaussée de Gand. Wait for me on the other side. Once on the other side, keep walking straight in Rue Brunfou. On your left, you're walking along some social housing of the 80s or 90s. Not especially beautiful, I would say.
So, yes, so where I saw a big evolution, it is with the social housings, the projects, in La Rue Brunfou. It has changed a lot, because before it was mainly little houses, mainly two rooms, etc.
Because it's big constructions, you know, big high buildings, big boxes where people are squeezed in, you know, in a very industrial way.
On your left, you can see now the Brunfou Square. You can see a bit further the old Hallemans Brewery. Once again, some remains of the industrial past of Molenbeek. Today, this building is called Le Cheval Noir, or the Black Horse. It houses some artist studios and apartments. At the next corner, cross the small Rue Fin, and once on the other side, turn right and enter this small Rue Fin.
But by contrast, what we built today, I think it is much better, because the buildings are much more designed on human scale, and they really successfully blend themselves in the urban landscape of the neighborhood, and they are more open to the neighborhood.
You are now walking along a house project called L'Espoir, which is on your right, on the other side of the street. Hard to miss it. With all those colors.
The building there on your right, the one full of color, that was a great adventure. It is mainly people from the neighborhood that got together and thought we have to live in a nice environment, more human, and we can try to do it ourselves.
And with the help of La Maison du Quartier de la Rue Bonnevie, the same that helped for the Bonnevie Park you already saw, they built those great houses, environmentally friendly.
Made of wood, colorful, and with the nice little vegetables. Garden in the back.
Cross now the small Rue Saint-Martin and keep on walking straight.
At that time in Molenbeek, there was a lot of those dead-end little streets, Rue Fin, where you can see this open parking or wasteland. There was one. And in front, where there is the Jardin Urbain, the urban garden, there was one too. Little houses after little houses, going deep into the block. So, yes, really, it was a neighborhood full of those little dead-end streets.
On your left, at the number 36, Le Jardin Urbain, the urban garden. Let's stop here for a minute and peek through the gate.
Yes, but there is more and more urban gardens. One is here, where we are, in Rue Fin. So they really push people to invest themselves at an ecological level. There is a vegetable plot here, all organic.
And if you stop there and the door is open, knock on the door and go inside.
Okay, let's go. Keep on walking in La Rue Fin in the same direction.
I believe that there has been a concern on the part of the people to replant trees, even in the less popular streets, to make them greener. It is not flower pots, not really. They really planted trees. Molenbeek was not green at all. No. People were not taking care of that at all.
At the end of the street, you are Rue Rancefort. Cross the Rue Rancefort. And once on the other side, turn left.
Rue Rancefort, for me, is the historical street of Molenbeek, the street with so much history. I think it is the oldest street in Molenbeek, where you can find the famous farm, the Rancefort farm, that was just outside the big fortification of Brussels City.
At the beginning, the oldest neighborhood of Molenbeek, that's here. And one need to know that at the time of Louis XIV, the Maréchal de Villeroy bombed and destroyed the very old Brussels, the Grand Place, and his cannons were shooting from here, from a farm that was on Rue Rancefort, towards the city, towards the Grand Place.
At number 27 of Rue Rancefort, on your left, you will see a big iron gate. This is La Fonderie, an old smelting factory. It was called the Bronze Company. Today it houses the Brussels Museum of Industry. If the gate is open, let's go inside. Walk towards the end of the courtyard and wait for me there, at the foot of the arch gate made out of bricks. If the gate is closed, wait for me here. I won't be long.
So for example, Rue Rancefort, there were many huge industries around here, like La Compagnie des Bronzes.
It is a neighborhood that was called the Little Manchester, and it is really here that started the Industrial Revolution in Brussels, and we can even say in Belgium. So here was the starting point of this revolution. So, La Fonderie was a factory that was building, at first, sculptures, statues, made out of bronze. So it all started in 1840, and slowly afterward, they reconverted in all types of bronze furnitures, like chandeliers, door handles, little metal details that you add to furnitures. They were the first, for example, that created electric chandeliers, the one from the Monet Opera, for example, but also from the Royal Palace. And after the Second World War, it has been a slow downfall, and the very last time they cast bronze was in 1974.
Okay, here we are. At the end of the courtyard. Let's stay here for a minute.
The idea behind the actual fonderie, initiated by Guido van der Hulst, was to give back to the people from the neighborhood their memory and all their industrial past.
Très beau projet.
So, a little group of passionate people realized in the beginning of the 80s that this very emblematic place, this bronze factory that was unfortunately already in ruins, they realized that it would be great to save it and restore it, to create a place in memory of the industrial and social past of the neighborhood. And in 2001, we started to restore it. A first part of it, which is now what we call the Brussels Museum of Industry and Labor. When you visit this place, the actual exterior courtyard, it remains mainly ruins of the old cast house, which is in the back of the courtyard. But its size, you just need to get inside and you realize how big it was, how important it was. And when you enter the main courtyard, you can find on your right the main hall. That was called the Halle des Tourneurs, or workshop of the former factory. It is there now that we have all our exhibitions. Most of the other buildings have unfortunately been destroyed because they were too dangerous. You can still see some remains of them, where we have exposed some machinery, and we call that our machinery garden.
When you see the site of La Fonderie, it is a wonderful place. I think that it's magical, but unfortunately people are not aware of that place.
We can go now. Walk back towards the gate of La Fonderie and wait for me there.
It was, of course, a very important place in Molenbeek. It was the place where they melted bronze. And some of the bronze, or cast iron gates, were even delivered far, very far away, in America, the New World. So it was a very central place.
So yes, in La Fonderie, you could even found the bronze of Abraham Lincoln. That's, I think, is still there. So a lot of stuff left from here to the United States via Le Canal. They even built the New York Zoo iron gate here. So I think it's amazing. People don't really know that, but they left from here.
Here we are, back at the gate, back at Rue Rancefort. When exiting the Fonderie, turn right and keep walking in Rue Rancefort.
Ah, ouais, ça.
Ah, oui, il y avait.
C'est autrement que de là, hein, mais là, il y avait. Comme Rue Rancefort, vous connaissez.
Ça, c'est la Rue Rancefort.
Rue Rancefort, well, it was full of cafés, bars.
Because the simple café, the little bars, local. In Belgium, they are never bars. A bar is something else. It's a café where you drink a beer. That's a typical café. Beer and maybe a little light wine, aperitif wine, something. Well, enough beer and Geuze, a typical Belgian beer.
It was also the neighborhood of the rag pickers and the small metal workers. So it was a very lively neighborhood. There were the Italians, also the Greeks. Someone told me that when you had a match between the Dering, the local football club, and the Union Saint-Gilloise, sometimes the police was afraid of coming in Rue Rancefort.
At the next corner, you will be at the small Rue Cahier à l'eau, named after a huge factory that used to build steam engines, mainly for trains. At the end of this small street, you can find a park. This is where we're gonna go. Wait for me in front of the park's gates.
When the weather was nice, eh bien, people would bring chairs on their doorsteps and sit outside and start to chit-chat all together. That was really fun.
Okay, are you in front of the gates? This is La Fonderie Park, another remain of the industrial past of Molenbeek, the iron gate, the columns, the big paved courtyard from the old factory. If the gate is closed, turn back and walk around the park. Meet me back at track 18 of your map. You will be at another entrance of the park. If it's open, then let's get inside the park. walk up those little stairs.
Here it is the Fonderie Park. And one entrance is right here of the Kai et Allo-Straat.
There was Kai and Allo. They were manufacturing railways stuff.
Walk now towards the center of the first circular esplanade, where you can see three columns.
The park is created just there where was a very big factory, the Kai et Allo factory.
Once there, turn left towards the center of the park and walk towards this second circular esplanade with again three other columns.
There is no lawn, there is no grass. Everything is covered with the typical Belgian blocks, historic Belgian blocks. And they all come from Molenbeek. I think that when you look at this park, you can imagine how big the factory was. Above your head, you probably had a big, big hall covering a big part of the factory. It's not really comfortable park because of the Belgian blocks. It is not very child-friendly. It's more a quiet place, oasis of tranquility, very silent. It's made for this, and I like it as this. You don't hear anything.
Once at the feet of those columns, turn slightly right in diagonal and walk towards the corner of the park, where you can see another iron gate.
Now, since a few months, the park is open almost every day. You can walk from one side to the other. It is a good shortcut between Rue Ransfort and Rue de l'Elephant, if it is open, of course.
Okay, let's exit the park. Wait for me at the street corner. Okay, here we are, outside the park. On your left is Rue Verrept de Keizer, and on your right, this big street, bordered with trees, is La Rue de l'Elephant, which, oh, again, has no street name. Let's stay here for a moment.
Ah, the Rue de l'Elephant, Elephant Street. It is maybe a legend again. I don't know. It was the name of a locomotive.
Very big locomotives that were built there, if I can remember.
That was used when the first train on the continent went from Molenbeek to Malines, Mechelen. And so the first big locomotive was called the Elephant.
The Elephant Street. This name was decided in memory of a very big factory, steel construction factory, that people around here called the Elephant because of the size of the factory.
So, on the other side of the street, there, a bit further, you can find the biggest mosque of Molenbeek, and probably one of the biggest in Brussels. It is the Al-Khalil Mosque.
At the other corner in front of you, in the big block that is between the Rue de Launoy up to the corner of the La Rue de l'Elephant, it is the big Al-Khalil Mosque. I think the biggest one in Brussels. And if you want more information, you should go and ring at the door and speak with someone there.
Okay, alors, welcome. I am the Dean of the Ligue d'Entraide Islamique and the Islamic Center in Brussels. It was created in 1985, and the first institution that came out of the League was the big Al-Khalil Mosque. Around the mosque, other institutions were created. So first the mosque, and then the Al-Khalil School, which gives Arabic lessons. And then you have the Plume School, which follows the curriculum of the French community. Then around that, you have the social committee, but as well the cultural committee, which is open to everyone. The reason is, the League has always been very much aware that in the context, dialogue was a belief and not a simple technique of communication, of PR, if you want.
The people there, they participate in a lot of neighborhood events, so they are in general very open.
So the mosque, like every place of worship, is a public place, open to everybody. And you have people of every age, old, young, men and women, Muslims from every part of the world, North Africa, Middle East, but as well Muslims from Eastern Europe, Albanese, Turks, from everywhere. But let's say that with the space we have, our history, the diversity of our members, the awareness of the League and so on, we became a true crossroad which offers a lot of different activities. And I think this is a plus compared to all the other mosques.
Okay, let's go now. Exiting the park, turn left in Rue Verrept de Keizer and walk until you reach the next corner. Wait for me there.
You know, the first word in Islam we use is very easy. It's salam. It means peace in Arabic. It is like a window which lets you see what is the true meaning of Islam. So salam and ahwa, which means dialogue. And finally, herwa, which means fraternity. Three keywords to define or to summarize what we do here in Molenbeek. Salam, ahwa, herwa.
End of the street, you will be back Rue Rancefort. Cross now Rue Rancefort and keep on walking straight in La Rue Évariste Pierron. On your left is Public School number 10 and its long abstract mosaic.
Here it's La Rue Évariste Pierron, and you can see there a big yellow wall with a big mosaic, a very abstract mosaic, with a lot of little squares, red, blue, yellow, green. It was done by a local artist.
Cross the small Rue Saint-Martin, walk along this big tower, and keep on walking straight in Rue Évariste Pierron until you hit the canal.
Yeah, yes, yes, here there is a big building tower, yes, it is not really luxury, but this tower should have been demolished a long time ago, because if you look more closely, it is not in a really good shape. Look closer, maybe. We should really knock them down and rebuild something new. But yes, it costs money, so...
So we were afraid. We said, what will they build?
In the past, a tower was easily built in the middle of everything, without really thinking about the consequences. And so, without thinking about its immensity and its impact on the neighborhood, on the streets, nothing really works.
At the end of the street, you will hit the Quai du Hainaut. Cross the street right in front of you and wait for me on the other side, just on the banks of the canal. Here you are, on the banks of the canal. Let's stop here for a moment.
The canal has also a great history. And again, people don't really know that, but it was a canal that was really important for the Industrial Revolution.
A bit further, on your right, you can see a renovated water gate or canal lock. It reminds us how important the canal has been for the city.
And so boats were unloading the coal here. They were coming from all around Belgium. And all those boats were using the canal. And so there were also a lot of canal locks, like the one you can see here.
The canal was built in just before 1830 to really link the Flanders and the other parts of the coal mine regions in Wallonia, in La Wallonie.
But in fact, at a certain point of time, they started to dig this canal that linked the Scheldt, Lescaut, towards the Rupen, the tidal river in northern Belgium, and the canal of Willebroek. And it used to go till the Place Sainte-Catherine, where there were several basins built in the heart of the city of Brussels. And then, after that, they dig the canal towards Charleroi. It was running through the swamp of the Seine River, the center of Molenbeek, the actual canal, to bring back steel and coal from that region.
So around the canal, many industries started to develop.
And so the second part of the canal has literally cut the higher and lower part of Brussels between Molenbeek-Saint-Jean and Brussels City.
Let's go now. Looking at the canal, turn left and walk along the canal until you reach a bridge. On your left, on the other side of the street, you can see the old Bellevue Brewery.
That's the Brasserie Bellevue. In the past, it was the De Coster Brewery. And then Bellevue bought a factory to stock its Geuze. Geuze is a special type of lambic beer that is produced by natural fermentation. We can easily see the three parts of the brewery. The big block on your right in the north, that's the storage place where the barrel with the lambic was stocked. The Geuze is a type of lambic. The small block in the south, where you can see the construction for an hotel, it was the maltery or the malt house.
Well, there will be a kind of social hostel with also some classes of training for the employees.
The brewery is the biggest building, the block in the middle, where we still can see the special cuve of tank with its open roof. That was what we called brassé à l'air naturel, brewed with natural air, so with no yeast, with a natural fermentation.
Well, I still remember that some morning it really smelled very, very bad. Huh? Now it's kind of finished. I also remember all the boat traffic, all those barges coming in and out. But now, you see sometimes some boats, one or two, but still nothing compared to the past. There is not even a way to unload those boats today. People would not even think about that.
Channel now. This is the Thames of Brussels, but I think we do not use it enough. I think that there is potential.
So here we are along the canal. There used to be a very present and strong urban industry in Brussels, in Molenbeek, Anderlecht. And so today we find ourselves at a very important point in time, because any industry that was using water really disappeared. So we found ourselves at a point in time when we need to reconvert this canal area.
I think that the canal is more an infrastructure which needs to create a link rather than divide. And it needs to link the north and the south, but also the east and the west, the center of Brussels, Molenbeek, Anderlecht, and all those places.
On your left, on the other side of the Quai du Hainaut, is the Rue du Cheval Noir. Keep on walking straight along the canal.
The canal is the border, the absolute border that people need to cross. It's a very psychological border, a frontier that people never really crossed.
And the canal is a border, a really obstacle. It's true that today the image of Molenbeek is not easy to change. Eh? So there is a little we can do, and it is not so difficult to come on this side.
Look up. You are walking now under the old mobile cranes of the canal that used to unload the barges.
Yeah, there is still a mobile crane or two along the canal in front of the old Benjurema warehouse. You can see them, but they are not in service anymore. And at the time, for this factory, bricks were coming from Boom near Antwerp and were unloaded here, Quai du Hainaut. But I think that in one of them, towards the warehouse site, maybe, there is still the little cabin to operate it.
Keep on walking straight along the canal. and wait for me at the next bridge.
Ah, voilà. Lui, il parle très bien anglais.
Along the canal, it's really where the industrial activity of the city was thriving.
I agree, of course, we won't ever be like Paris or Amsterdam. I think we will always keep some industrial aspects.
Because when we look at all other cities in the world where there is water, it really gives something to a city.
I think that is a really negative image that carries Molenbeek. And it is often very hard to change that image, but we are working on it. People are kind of afraid to cross the canal.
Yeah, but my knowledge is not very high.
Here we are, at the bridge of Porte de Flandre. One of the seven gates of the old medieval Brussels walls. On the other side of the street, on your left, starts the Chaussée de Gand, which you've crossed 20 minutes ago. Let's stay here for a moment.
Ah, oui, oui, the old Chaussée de Gand, where the coaches and horses were traveling, entering Brussels through one of the gates. Here, the Flanders Gate, Porte de Flandre. But that is really old. There were seven gates like that in Brussels.
Porte de Flandre, Porte de Nino, Porte d'Anderlecht, Porte d'Al, Porte de Namur.
There were seven. They all disappeared. No, except Porte de Hal, of course, yes.
Let's go. Cross the street again and keep on walking in the same direction, along the canal. Wait for me on the other side of the street, but please watch out. Do not cross the bridge. Once on the other side, keep on walking straight along the canal. In the same direction. Look up. On your right, planted along the canal, is a series of colorful windmills, like the mills of Molenbeek.
So they have put those little windmills along the canal in Molenbeek.
The little colorful windmills, for example, that was a project from the Maison de Culture where you stopped earlier. Huh? I mean the plastic propellers from Serge Cruz. Yes, the idea was to explain that the people of Molenbeek and all the other that had a negative view on Molenbeek, that the new wind was blowing on the neighborhood. And also, of course, to explain the name. The mills from the brook, the molen from the beek, as we say here. And so the people have been very happy with those windmills. There will supposed to say 6 months, and it's already been 7 years, so it's a big success, of course.
On your left, you can see the Sainte-Marie Square. Stop when you reach the middle of the square, but stay on the bank of the canal. Do not cross the street. Have you noticed this big empty space which forms this square? This enormous scar through Molenbeek? Well, they destroyed everything to build the subway, which runs under your feet. And on the other side of the canal, they prefer to dig under the houses. But that's, you see, is on the other side of the canal.
The biggest transformation was the famous, or more unfamous, destruction of the subway zone, where in contrast with Rue Locanguin, on the other side of the canal, Brussels city side, they did not demolish anything to build the subway. But once in Molenbeek, they destroyed a huge zone.
If you can see, they have destroyed a much bigger space than what they really needed to build a metro. To build the same subway line, in Molenbeek, they destroyed everything. They really opened the streets, but on the other side, the side of Brussels city, you cannot see anything. Everything was done with technology of the time. Everything was made underground. So it tells you a lot about the image people had about Molenbeek. It was in fact quite unfair already at this time.
Let's leave now. Keep on walking in the same direction until you reach the next bridge.
It was just the beginning of a lot of social groups that still exist in Molenbeek. La Maison Bonnevie, the Bonnevie House, La Rue, the Foyer. In the 70s, people really started to revolt.
On your right, a bit further, on the other side of the canal, the old Petit Château, or Little Castle. Since 1986, it has become a center that welcomes the asylum seekers. I mean, if I can say welcome.
At the time when Molenbeek was full of factories and workers, it was really proletarian neighborhood of Brussels. Very dense, with a lot of fights, misery. And so at one point, they decide to have more police forces, gendarmerie, like we call them. So they need to build barracks for them. And they did that where you can find Le Petit Château. And so the question was, where should we build these barracks? If they built the barracks in Molenbeek, the police could be surrounded and blocked by the canal. So they built it on the other side of the canal in Brussels side. They were really afraid.
On the other side of the street is Le Chien Vert, the biggest fabric store in Belgium. The same building used to house a dealer in potatoes. So from French fries to fabric, there's only a thin line. Okay, you're now getting to the next bridge, the one facing the Petit Château. Let's stop for a moment. As soon as you reach this crosswalk, that should be on your left, just before the bridge.
At this very same place, more or less where you can see the small castle and the bridge, there the river de Molenbeek was flowing and was entering Brussels city.
Okay, let's go. Allons-y. Let's take this crosswalk that is on your right, just before the bridge. Once on the other side, keep on walking straight in La Rue de l'Avenir. You are now in La Rue de l'Avenir. L'Avenir meaning the future. So, what's Molenbeek's future?
Obviously, if we talk about problems in Molenbeek, we speak first of all of social problems. In the media, we will often hear that problems and conflicts arise in Molenbeek because it is so culturally diverse. But I insist that social problems are the root cause of trouble here.
In my eyes, and through all the contacts that I have every day with the older or younger part of the neighborhood, I must say that I find that the population is quite amicable, nice, welcoming.
Cross now the Rue Houbrechts and keep walking straight.
Of course, there are big socio-economical problems, poverty, unemployment, etc., etc.
And I think it's important really to work on the ground and on the field.
Cross the Rue d'Arimont and keep walking in the same direction.
So there is a lot to do, especially for the youth, for their future. And so what is important is education, training, access to work, etc.
I always say that to the journalist. For me, the image, you know, I said, you know, go see a football match under Alexander. You see 100 hooligans that are messing around with everybody. And you say, what? I'm not going to go and see a football match? I mean, there's 100 out of 5,000 people. So it's really a minority.
Cross la Rue de la Prospérité and keep walking straight. On your left, another big fresco painted on a school wall.
Okay, Neil, we see you coming down the ladder now. That's one small step for man.
At the end of the street, you're back on the Saint-Jean-Baptiste Square. Cross the street right in front of you and wait for me in the center of the square, just in front of the church.
Ah, the Parvis, the heart of the neighborhood, of the historical Molenbeek. It is its soul, and for a majority, it is really the heart of Molenbeek. It really is the Grand Place of Molenbeek.
And when you enter the square, you see so many people sitting, some playing crickets, often by Pakistani kids, especially when it's sunny. Yes, I personally love the Parvis.
Okay, here we are. Let's stay here for a moment.
Yeah, women are sitting around the square, so yes, I think it's a square where you find a bit of everything.
It is really where everything happened, where we would go and play football, soccer. It was the meeting point. When everything was peaceful, we would be in front of the church, on the parvis, but when things were not that good, we would go in the back and maybe fight. It was very special. So yes, the parvis was the heart, the meeting point, the place of all the big events. But of course today, it's also the marketplace. Voilà, that's a bit what the parvis represents to us.
The square in front of the church, before there was a little park with flowers and benches. It was really lovely. Old people sat there, women came with their children to play. Today we find a lot of tea rooms, and there's a mix of people from different cultures as well.
The parvis, before there were little fences, flower pots, benches, and in the springtime it was like a little garden, and the bus and the tram would pass in the middle of the square.
There was wave of populations here, different nationalities.
So basically, you quickly realize that the symbolic center of Molenbeek Saint-Jean, it's Le Parvis. Le Parvis Saint-Jean-Baptiste. Everything starts there.
It is, of course, the Parvis Saint-Jean-Baptiste, and it refers to the saint of the neighborhood.
But at that time, Saint-Jean-Baptiste, Saint John, was on Molenbeek's shield. Eh? I think it was on a boat or something. Because it was linked to the Seine River, then the canal.
And then you have this church, beautiful, in the middle of the Parvis, because you... Oui, voilà, you see the people all around it, coming from so many places, and I like this square.
The church is really a symbolic building. Eh? The church before was located at the end of the Rue de Comte de Flandre. And what is today the Parvis, the square, was the cemetery. Like in the village in the past, the cemetery were there. And so they moved the church on what was an old factory. And so the Parvis was born, like that.
It is somehow recent church. It was opened for the first time in 1932.
And so it is a symbolic building, modern style. The architect was Joseph Diongre, the one who designed the Belgian radio building, Place Flaget, in Flaget.
The church, by far my favorite, because the church is quite unique in Brussels. It's made of reinforced concrete. It has a lot of curves. There is no pillars. The perspectives are quite impressive. The space, the volume are amazing. The light in the church is really very great. You should go and visit the church at any time.
It is especially famous for its stained glasses. And when it's sunny, you should see that it is so amazing.
Stained glass that are still the original ones and which are quite beautiful.
Unfortunately, it's often closed, except maybe during Mass, so the church is closed and hard to visit. So a last little anecdote is that more than once I met people who asked me if this building were not in reality a mosque. So this church has always been a kind of pole for a lot of people from a lot of nationalities.
The architect Joseph Diongre, it was an atheist, a socialist, a hardcore socialist. He designed and built a Catholic church. And now a lot of people think that it looks like a mosque. So it's really the perfect place, the perfect center for Molenbeek.
Time to go now. Let's leave the square by walking around the right side of the church. It is the Rue Hélène Rijkmans.
But it is true that there is an area color that one sees most of all in places as markets and mosques. A bit a Maghrebine color. However, it is also true that one of the big places in Molenbeek till today is the church building. Now you see Africans there.
From Rwanda, from Burundi, from the Congo, from Cameroon, from Benin.
You are now walking along the church walls.
Thank you.
Once at the rear corner of the church, cross the street that slightly leaves towards the right and stay on its right sidewalk.
I don't know how many associations there's in the neighborhood. I think there are more associations than mosques. So many associations.
We are more than 2,000 social workers, meaning more or less 360 organizations, non-profit, semi-public and private.
So it's typical also for Molenbeekois. On top of the fact that they can really live here, they have also this feeling of being supported.
Cross Rue Anglaise and keep on walking straight. In La Rue Doyen Vierens.
Here, yeah, there are a lot of negative things, but there are also a lot of positive things.
It is a very welcoming neighborhood. I think we still can change things, like cleanliness. We could do something about it, but overall, the spirit of Molenbeek should not change. It should stay like it is, welcoming.
At the next corner, you are back at Rue du Ruisseau. Turn now right in the Rue du Ruisseau.
There is a constant movement, lots of energy. Sometimes good, sometimes bad energy. But at least it's energy and things are just moving.
It is like a love affair. There is time where you are fed up and then there's time when we cannot live without it.
I think there's a solidarity in this neighborhood that I love. And of course, there are problems, but that's like in every neighborhood.
All problems that are there don't avoid people here to be creative.
A bit further, on your left, you can see La Rue des Ateliers. Cross Rue du Ruisseau and enter La Rue des Ateliers on its right sidewalk.
And my wish is that the municipality can continue moving forward, because it deserves to do so, because it certainly has the potential to do so. And we are at the heart of Brussels here and of Europe.
Okay, we are back now in La Rue des Ateliers, not far from our starting point. Keep on walking straight until you reach the doors of Le Foyer.
So the foyer. I came to the foyer when I was very young, and I must say I blossomed here. I learned a lot as a kid. I think it brought me something extra, and today I want to give back to the foyer, pass on something to the next generation. So our mission is to work with the kids, to try and develop their critical minds, to open them to the outside world, to other cultures, and try to develop their sense of responsibility. So that is the core of mission. But we don't really tell them that, I mean, to the kids. We kind of make it more beautiful. We try to make it more sellable to the kids.
In this street, there are again some NGOs. One of them is called YES, that helps little startups. There's also CPIS, OCMW, a public social service center.
Moi, je m'appelle Fatima.
I like to come to Le Foyer.
Moi, je m'appelle Suleiman.
I'm 5 years old. I come here since a long time.
Asia. On est au foyer à Molenbeek.
I come here to do my homework. I come here every day after school.
They come here from 6 and other continue to come until they are 22, 23 years.
I've been working here since 1980 at Foyer in Molenbeek. So okay then, you pass in front of door number 36 of the workshop street, and I'm doing the wood workshop here for people in the area. And they make all kind of things in wood. And if it's open, you can always enter, no problems.
Oh, I like to come here. I have a lot of friends. Wednesday we play football.
I like to play football.
Sometimes we do some cooking.
I like to come here.
We celebrate Halloween.
I come after school with my friends.
During the holiday, we go to camp. I like to come to Le Foyer.
Well done. Here we are, back at the foyer. I'm going to leave you now, on your own. I hope you enjoyed your walk with me. I certainly did. See you another time, maybe. Thank you. Bye-bye. Au revoir. Tot ziens in Molenbeek.
You can come in Molenbeek. It's very friendly. You will feel good. It's very nice around here.
Salam alaikum. On dit salam alaikum. Alaikum tisa.
Salam. Akhwa.
I like Molenbeek. I was born here.
It's really a warm place.
Molenbeek is magnificent.
Very welcoming.
It is cosmopolite.
Cosmopolite.
It's not always clean. I would like it to be cleaner.
I'm Molenbeekois.
No matter what religion, no matter from which country, everyone's equal here. There's no difference.
You will feel very comfortable.
Molenbeek, in the future, I want everyone to be together. All the people love each other like a team.
The Molenbeek.
Bruxelles, Molenbeek.
Oui, Bruxelles, Molenbeek.
C'est Molenbeek.
I want big houses. No more poor people.
I'm proud to be Molenbeekois. I'm very proud of that Molenbeekois and the Zinneke.
I'm Molenbeekois and Zinneke.
Belgique, vive la Belgique.
I think that in 2100 there will be new people, the houses will fly. Yes, fly.
Et ben voilà. That is also Molenbeek. With all that come along and yeah.
Bye. Thank you for listening to us. It's very nice.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.